Welcome to Grace Christian Center Online. We are honored that you're here with us this morning, and it is an absolute delight to be with you. I'm Pastor Kevin.
I'm Pastor Sherry.
And this is Grace Christian Center Online. Normally, we do this with a whole team of people, and this morning it's us, but we are delighted, like I said, and honored that you're here. Welcome to Palm Sunday.
Yes.
In my entire life, in our entire lives, we never dreamed that we'd be doing Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter online instead of in person.
That's right.
But we are grateful for the opportunity to come and be with you in this way, to present the gospel in this way. We pray you're all safe and doing well. As we've said in the past, our hearts hurt for those who are ill. Some have lost loved ones. We are standing against this affliction, this virus, in Jesus' name,
yes,
proclaiming the name of the Lord, proclaiming his healing power. And we are here to present the good news of Jesus. He loves you. And if you don't know Jesus yet, if you're watching by some reason this morning and you don't yet know the Lord, today's a great day to get to know him. And we're going to tell you a lot of precious things about what Jesus has done for you and for me. The Bible says, and we always start with this verse, Psalm 118, verse 24.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather just like this. We pray you will be high and lifted up and glorified even as we spend this time together. Jesus, we've come here for you. We are so grateful for what you've done for us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless each one within the sound of our voice. Lord, watching online and watching later beyond live. Father, most of all, we ask you to bring a great awakening. All across the planet, things have come to a standstill. Everybody's stopped, on the same page, wondering what's next. What's next is you, whatever you want to do. And we pray, oh God, that you will move in our lives, continue to change us, make us more like you. And Lord, even speak to our hearts as we look into the Word of God today to see what you're saying to us. Now bless each one, we pray, in the name of Jesus. They all said,
amen. Amen.
Pastor Sherry, you've got some thoughts to share this morning.
Well, I'm reading this morning from Luke 11, verses 2 through 4 from the Passion Translation. Now, the disciples were on a walk with Jesus. They were walking along, and they had noticed and they had observed how Jesus prayed. So they said to him, "Teach us how to pray." And he answered in this way, "Our Heavenly Father, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. May your Holy Spirit come upon us and cleanse us. Manifest your kingdom on earth and give us our needed bread for the coming day.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who wronged us.
Beautiful.
And rescue us every time we face tribulations."
Indeed.
This morning I had to kind of wrestle with myself to read this, not from the King James, but from the Passion Translation. But you know, every time we look, sometimes we say things, we read scripture from King James with which we're so familiar, and we don't get the full meaning sometimes because it's kind of like rote. We've done it before.
Yeah, true.
So this morning I was just thrilled as I read this from the Passion. "Our Heavenly Father, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns."
Beautiful.
Wow. My life. May the glory of your name be the center on which everything I do and everything I am gives glory to your name.
I love that.
"May your Holy Spirit come and cleanse me, because then your kingdom will be manifested on earth. And give us our needed bread for the coming day. Forgive our sins as we ourselves release that forgiveness to those who wronged us." What a perfect verse for today.
Excellent.
When we're going to be partaking of communion. As we partake, we release forgiveness. We receive forgiveness and we release forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
And rescue us every time we face tribulations. Amen. Are you facing tribulations?
Just a few.
Technical tribulations.
Not as much as a lot of people are facing out there. Right. We know that.
That's right.
But we all go through those things, don't we?
And as we are as a nation right now going through it.
Yeah.
Well, it's Palm Sunday, and on Palm Sunday, we always start Palm Sunday with the same song, On a Little Donkey. You see these palms back here? You'd each have one of those in your hand, so pretend you have them in your hands and put your hands up and wave them before the Lord as we also welcome our King. Amen.
Yeah. Now, this is the case. We're not professionals doing this, so we're going to sing these songs. We're going to sing some songs of worship this morning. But this is a case, contrary to what the commercials say, you can try this at home. So
yes, amen. Like do it. Just sing out loud.
On a little donkey, 2,000 years ago, Christ rode into Jerusalem so all the world would know. He was fulfilling prophecy, and everyone could sing and worship the Savior, Messiah, and King. They sang Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People worshipped, the little children laughed. They took the palm leaves from the trees and laid them in his path. Their hearts were overflowing, their spirits came alive. Emmanuel, the chosen one, has finally arrived. They sang Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dog Yummy in the background. She is singing her hosannas as well. Well, we pray that you're doing well. We're going to enjoy some songs of worship this morning. If you don't know them, I'll be singing them, doing my best to do so. But if you do know them, as I said, just sing along. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Power, live inside of me. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Oh, be here with your presence. Fill me with your power. You're the living water, never drying fountain, comforter and counselor, take complete control. Spirit, be here with your presence, fill me with your power, live inside of me. Fill me with your power, oh, live inside of me. You're the living water. is we're going to sing a song that has been around for quite some time. Several of these are older, but this is a song that's really an anthem, a declaration. And it's one we all need to remember right now and need to proclaim. It goes like this. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I said my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You know the song, just sing it, declare it this morning. It's an anthem, as I said, from the scriptures, the word of the Lord, and we believe his report. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Now personalize it. You are the Lord. You are the God that healed me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Just declare it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Oh, love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sing that last line again with me. I am a child of God. Lord, we believe your word. We are yours. We don't have to be afraid. We get to just come and worship you because you are worthy. You're worthy of all our praise. Lord, we declare your healing over this land, over this earth. Your word tells us you will fill this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Now, we've all stopped in our places. We repent of anything that's come before you. As your people, we come and turn from our own wicked ways and ask you now to heal our land. And Lord, as you do it, we don't have to be afraid. You are in complete control. Just worship the Lord with me on this song. If you don't know, it's pretty simple. You can even do it as repeat lines after me. It goes like this. I worship you, Lord, with all of my heart. I praise now your name. I magnify. Just join with me, church. We magnify him. The name of the Lord. I worship you, Lord. Our joy and delight to be with you each Sunday at this time. We are so glad for the fact that you honor us by being here. We know that you could be anywhere right now, and we wave to our several friends who are watching, and we're delighted that you're here. We're grateful that in this time of emergency declarations in our nation, no one has said you can't preach the gospel. We've just needed to find possibly another way to do it, and we're glad to be here. We're honored to be here. Now, a little later, we're going to be celebrating communion. So make sure you have the elements ready. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, that Jesus has endued you with power in life. We're not trying to offend our brethren who may be of a different persuasion, but we believe we can celebrate communion together. And in your own home, the anointing of the Lord is there. We'll go through the scriptures together and partake. We're also going to have your Bibles turned, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21 this morning. That's the section of scripture we'll be referring to. Matthew chapter 21. Now, last week, I shared about how he's got this. You know, we're hearing so many declarations, and again, our hearts absolutely grieve with anyone who is ill, anyone who may have lost a loved one, and we are proclaiming the healing power of Jesus, the peace of the Lord. He gives a peace that passes all understanding. But we're also thanking God that He's on the throne. He's got this. And this morning, I want to spend a little time, and I want to talk about how He has you. He's got you. But first, let's take a look. What do you see here? What is this? Oh, if you can see it, it's something we've all participated with before. It's an eye chart, checking our visions. And then, what is this? Hold on to that thought. We'll be coming back to that. Eyes to see. Perfect vision. You know, a lot of times people might say to themselves, and in fact even have said, if I could see perfectly, if I could just see what's up ahead, I would know what to do. Instead, life doesn't unfold that way. The Bible tells us His word is a lamp unto our feet. Step by step, the plan of God unfolds. But right now, we have this opportunity to be looking to Him. He's quieted us all down. Stop the busyness. There's not much we can do right now, except our first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our physicians, our surgeons, people laboring on the front lines. And there are so many across the nation, while they can't serve customers in their store, at restaurants, etc., they're feeding, giving food away and things to go. So there's some business that is taking place, and we thank God for it. But a lot of us are having to just be quiet, going out only to grocery stores or things of that nature. And we want you to be safe as you do so. We're all doing our part to bring healing and keep people safe. But if I could only see down the road, Pastor Kev, I would know exactly what I'm supposed to do. But instead, the Lord tells us to wait on Him, to look to Him. Pastor Sherry, a couple of weeks ago, shared about Isaiah 26:20. Come in and shut the door. Wait on Him. Look to Him. See Him. Lord, let your prayer be. What is it you're doing? What is it you're saying? The scripture is full of, He uses many times the scriptures about giving us ears to hear and eyes to see. That doesn't normally mean most people it doesn't mean people don't have earlobes or ears, they do, or eyes, they typically do, but there's a different dimension that Jesus wants to speak to us about right now. I want to talk about deliberate decisions. Do you know every moment counts? Every decision, every choice counts. Jesus, as we go to the scriptures this morning, in Matthew chapter 21, has been with His disciples now for 3.5 years. Now we're coming to the close of this phase of His life. He's healed the sick, He's opened blind eyes, He's raised people from the dead, He's fed the multitudes, He's taught, He's trained, He had to work with disciples who absolutely couldn't understand what He was saying, you know, and He's talking about, I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to take my life, and they're over here arguing about who's going to be the greatest. You know, the thing that does encourage us is that it's a lot like us sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we just plain miss it, but He's gracious. And He's kind and He's loving. And, you know, you can imagine the Lord wanting to turn to His disciples and say, will you guys just snap out of it? But He handles us with grace and love. And He sometimes is firm. But He's now set to move. Like Flint, His face is set to move toward Jerusalem. And into a week that changes all of life, all of human history. Whether or not people acknowledge it now, He changed your life and mine by what began to unfold. He is completely in control as the master to now take the next steps as He follows what His Father says to do. He's told His disciples of His impending arrest and death, and His disciples are afraid. The popularity of the crowds has brought on the rage and jealousy of the Jewish leaders, and now they come to Jerusalem. Now, when things come to an end, every word counts. Every action counts. What did Jesus do? Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 27, verses 7 through 11. I'll read the scriptures if you don't have them with you. But if you do, open up your tablet, open up your phone, and get your hardbound Bible. Take a look. This is a great time to be looking in on the scriptures. Matthew chapter 21, verses 7 through 15 is where I'm actually going to end up. But first section 7 through 11. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their hands on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, this is a direct correlation from 2 Kings chapter 9. King Jehu, or Yehu, was coronated as king after a prophecy, and this refers back to that. By the way, this donkey that Jesus rides in on, some people say it's all about total humility, and indeed it was, but kings would also ride on donkeys, but especially in this time, that's what he rode in on, with a spirit of humility, as well as a spirit of power and knowing what he was up to. But horses ride in as a weapon of war. A horse or an animal of war was the horse. When we get to the book of Revelation, Jesus rides the horse. But now, he's riding the donkey. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. This is called antiphonal singing. A group of people in front of him, a group of people, a throng of people behind him. And they're singing, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, this is actually, we glibly sing this, we glibly speak this. This is a profound experience, right in front of all the Roman soldiers, right in front of all the Jewish leaders who were so jealous. This word in the Greek for Hosanna is Messiah, come and save us. Messiah, come and redeem us. Messiah, hear us now and take over. And that's what he's actually declaring. I want you to see, in other times, Jesus would come in quietly into the city of Jerusalem. This time, he's coming in with a crowd, a throng of people declaring their hosannas. See Messiah, messianic or Messiah praise taking place with that declaration that unfolds. Verse 10, when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now that Greek word, it's so good to understand what some of these words mean. The Greek word there for moved means they were literally rocked. The city was being rocked. And isn't that our place as Christians, to bring the light, the life, the anointing of Jesus? So people are, with love, rocked off the foundation that's inappropriate into Jesus. But the city was rocked. It literally, the Greek means it was vibrating. It was agitated and it was trembling. That's powerful. All the city was moved, saying, who is this? Can you imagine this throng, this crowd? They're all declaring he's the Messiah. By the way, the second point is Messiah recognition, because they recognize he is. That's what they're declaring. Now, in a few days, they will have changed their tune because Jesus didn't do what he wanted them to do. How often does that happen for you and me? He doesn't do exactly what we want him to. And it grieves us, because sometimes family members we love get sick or pass. It's happening right now. But instead of being bitter and angry at the Lord, understand that he grieves right along with you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He doesn't want anybody to perish. In fact, John 3:16, let's just declare it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you see, sometimes we perish in this flesh, but when your heart belongs to Jesus, you will live forever with him. In a little while, as we conclude today, we'll have opportunity to pray, if you've not done that yet, to give your life to Jesus. He loves you so much. The Bible tells us then that in verse 11, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So we have Messiah recognition, Messiah praise, Messiah recognition. And in verse 12, it's a very interesting set of scriptures, 12 through 15. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Literally, Jesus turned their world upside down. By the way, there's some background here. Jesus had done that 3 years earlier. This is the second time he does this. The background behind this is the court of the Gentiles was a very large place where Gentiles who had come to faith in God through Jewish background and religion had a place where they could be and come and dwell or worship in the temple. And this was a huge place, but it was overrun with money changers. When a foreigner or person from out of town, a Jewish person, came to worship at the temple, they couldn't bring their animals. They could, but most of the time, because of graft and greed by the priests in that day that were at the tables, they wouldn't allow their animals. The animals weren't good enough. Or if they brought money, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't the temple money. So they had to change the money into temple money in order to buy the animal that was being sold for their sacrifice there at the temple. It was greed, it was graft, and the high priest actually was making a good living, and so were the others. And it's part of the reason he didn't like Jesus when Jesus turned these money changers over. And he said to them, verse 13, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. That was a kingly authority. That was Messiah recognition. By the way, nobody tried to stop him. Nobody stood in his way. Messiah recognition. And third, Messiah ministry. Verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Most of the time, the lame and the blind are crowded out. But Jesus, as their priest, their prophet, their king, he ministered to them and healed them. Jesus does the same thing today. The lame, who your walk isn't right or hasn't been right and you know it. The blind, you can't see which way you're going, what to do. Jesus is here to heal you. They came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Jesus doesn't stop the praise from taking place. There's messianic ministry that takes place, and he wants to welcome people into his house. It's a house for all people to be able to come and pray. Jesus right now is here to minister to you if you feel like you're in that shape. Sometimes life is that way. We feel like we stumble forward, don't know exactly what to do. Verse 15 says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, instead of rejoicing, they were indignant. They were furious. They were jealous, and they were angry because Jesus had come and rocked their world. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've shared a simple illustration about our dog, Yummy. Our dog, Yummy, is just a sweet little dog. And you heard her barking a little while ago, but there's something I've learned from my dog. She gets, like lots of dogs, gets madder in her eyes, and it turns dark around there sometimes. And sometimes the hair grows right over her eyes. So my wife, Sherry, she'll get out her scissors and cloth and cleans her up. Now, this happens. We're sitting in two comfortable chairs, and Yummy's on our lap. She's in Fat City. She just thinks the world is right. Like all of our dogs right now, we're at home with them. They are in their own heavenly places. Anyway, so Yummy is just having the time of her life on our lap, and Sherry reaches for the scissors And that dog starts to squirm, go crazy. She jumps into my lap. Actually, if I'm sitting front forward into my chair, she goes behind me, like I'm going to protect her from this masterful woman of God. Anyway, Sherry grabs the scissors and yummy squirms, and I hold her tight. And Sherry washes around her eyes, takes away the matter. She trimmed the hair from getting into her eyes, and yummy actually comes through it, looking better, being better, and seeing better. We're like that, aren't we? We squirm. We try to run from the Lord sometimes. What are you doing, Lord? This hurts. This is painful. This is different. I've not experienced this, or the last time I went through this, it was no good, man. I didn't enjoy it, but I could see better, and I was healthier. If we'll embrace what the Lord's doing, if we'll embrace and take time with him and love him and be in the Word of God, read a great book, read the Bible. If we'll take time to hear from him, he's really trying to help us. We talked a couple of weeks ago about people talking about judgment. Yes, the Lord does judge. The Lord shakes what can be shaken, an incredible prophecy, basically by David Wilkerson over 40 years ago, about God is going to allow a plague to come and shut things down, and a third great awakening will come. The prophetic words have come, and the Lord does deal, but he's not shaking us to get rid of us. He's shaking that which can be shaken so we can acknowledge him and say, okay, Lord, take first place in my life. Take the preeminence. Take over. And when we do that, we are ready for whatever he's going to do. We may not be able to see all in the future, but you know, we can be ready by being right with God. He loves you so much. I'm going to pray. If you've not given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. Give your life to him this morning, today, because he knows who you are, where you are, and he loves you so much. Just pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you are the Lord. I believe you came into this week. We celebrate Palm Sunday today. But you went to the cross for me. You died for me. You were buried for me. You rose again for me. Now come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take over my life. Forgive me, Jesus, for the sins I've done. I turn my life over to you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior now. If you've done that, we rejoice with you. It's a fantastic day. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place, you'll be ready. If you have already given your life to the Lord but need to draw closer to him, let this day be inspirational for you. As it comes in, we shake our palms. We say, Hosanna, oh God, you're in charge. Let this time be that declaration from your own life. He does love you so much. Now, in just a moment, we're going to participate in communion. So I urge you, go ahead and get your wafer together and along with your juice. And we're going to turn to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to partake. Now, we've not done this online before. We all usually do this together, but we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe this is an anointing you have at home. We believe that as we partake, even as we partake, there's healing and there's strength and there's power. There's encouragement for you. And the Bible says we are to do this in remembrance of him. Listen to the word of God. And remember, he's got you. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." The Lord is working in each of our lives. And if there's anything that you know that you have as a difficulty in relationship, spouse to spouse, friend to friend, family member to family member, take the time and make sure it gets right. If you need, just as Pastor Sherry did with the Lord's Prayer this morning beautifully, just as the scripture talks about, forgive one another. If there's anything that is difficult or a wall between you, forgive each other, express that love. Remember, we talked about what you would do if you knew it was the end. Express that love and forgiveness. Do it now. Don't wait another day. Don't wait for another crisis. This is the time to do that. We remember his body broken for us. Now, next week, we're going to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday message of Easter, but we celebrate it every day. Friday night at 6:30, right here on Facebook Live, we'll be here with Good Friday. But next Sunday at 10 o'clock, we'll be here celebrating Easter together. But let's partake of communion now. Take your piece of bread, and Lord, we're going to pray. We believe your body was broken for us. And as we participate, we do so now, so thankful that you took our bruises, our battering, our punishment for sin, Jesus, you took on yourself on the cross. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your body broken for us. Now we hold the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood shed for you and me. This is the blood shed that ratifies the covenant we have with Jesus, the covenant with God. We're in relationship with God himself through our Lord Jesus. What a gracious Lord. Don't you love him?
Oh, yes.
I love him. I know you do too. Well, let's do this in remembrance of him. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise this morning. You are so good, and we are in love with you. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. There was a great story I just want to close with, and I want to remind you, you can go to gracechristiancenter.us. Other messages are right on there. You'll enjoy those. Pastor Sherry has messages, others from around the body of Christ, and the messages I preached on there as well. Enjoy them. And there's also a button on there, blue button. You can give online. You can give by check or to send it to 240 Maple Lane, Port Ludlow, the Grace Christian Center. We're still functioning as a church, distributing money where it needs be, missions around the world, as well as to our own food banks. We're serving as a church in our community. That's what those tithes and offerings go for. And if you want to contribute, that blue button digitally online, you can give via credit card or a direct deposit. And that's all easily done. It takes a little while to set it up. Hang in there for it, but we appreciate and say thank you ahead of time. There was a lady this last week, I believe she was in Washington State. They didn't play the whole story on the regular news, but CBN ran the full story. She's a dedicated Christian. She was in her 90s, I believe. She just recovered from coronavirus. Everybody was concerned about her. And she made these words. She's now healed and back home as a 92-year-old. That should give us all hope. Anyway, so she's back home. And she made this statement. She said, "I couldn't see him face to face, but I could feel his hands on me." Amen. When you can't see him, his hands are on you.
Yes, they are.
We love you. We're looking forward to being back together again congregationally when we can do so. In the meantime, we gather like this, and we are so honored that you've gathered with us. We love you. Be blessed and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God bless you. Have a fantastic Palm Sunday, a great week, knowing that he is Lord indeed, and he's got you.
Amen. Amen.